So welcome everybody, for those of you who are new, and for those of you who are returning. This is the first day of our Zen story scene, The Prince, or otherwise Picture 2. We've just come from the confusion and bewilderment and pain, searching for the ox, or the truth self, the Buddha nature, loving awareness, however it's described in your heart. So the experience of picture one, of being in struggle, resistance, endlessly searching for happiness through the impossible means of the eight worldly winds, constantly changing, ultimately unsatisfying because we're seeking pleasure from outside ourselves, and that we are not the self is not the actual center of it all. So we come to this new picture of seeing the footprints. And we are going to be using a reflection that Lauren started the first Sunday we were talking about the first picture. And so what we are in, it's loosely based on insight dialogue. And so what we are going to do is have a series of prompts. I will invite you to, you know, relax and pause. We're going to look at the picture in verse, and you will, you know, close your eyes and reflect on my prompts before I give a talk and offer some ideas. So we're going to spend some time looking and listening, receiving the spirit of the words and the pictures, and knowing that they're going to evoke something different in each one of us. And it's not about, oh, I know what that is. So we want to caution everyone on presuming you know exactly what the verse and picture are showing and saying. We really want to read and view the picture and verse and just wait for image, a word to find a resonance inside of you. And so these responses can be short, single word or just one thing. No need to censor yourself or analyze or elaborate. And so the idea is to, you know, stimulate our mindfulness and to lead to insight. So if I might ask, please take a moment to settle and reconnect with the present moment. You can close your eyes. Pause, relax, open, trust emergence, be patient and wait for the image and words to find their place within you. So you can open your eyes. So open your eyes now and take some time to silently reflect on the picture. And the verse, I'm going to read it twice and have a different prompt each time. Along the riverbank, under the trees, I discover footprints. Even under the fragrant grass, I see his prints. Deep in remote mountains, they are found. These traces can no more be hidden than one's nose looking heavenward. So pause. Relax. Open. Trust. What word, phrase, detail of the image invites you or strikes you? Don't censor it. What word, phrase, or detail of the image strikes you? No explanation or analyzing. Let it sit with you. Along the riverbank, under the trees, I discover footprints. Even under the fragrant grass, I see his prints. Deep in remote mountains, they are found. These traces can no more be hidden than one's nose. Looking heavenward. So this prompt, complete the sentence in your mind. This picture, these words, invite me to feel blank. You could have an emotion, a physical sensation. So invites you to feel blank or to think a thought. What is it? Complete the sentence in your mind. This picture, these words, invite me to feel blank or to think blank. All right, so let's let this experience rest for now. We will have a chance to share in small groups, but now I'm going to offer some ideas. If Jerry, you could stop the screen share, or maybe I can. I'm not sure if I can. Now, in discovering the footprints, our seeking has borne fruit. we see footprints of the ox. In this brief talk, I want to explore three areas. One is what my experience with the heart opening is like or was in early. Second is what the last verse points to, that happiness that resides here, this moment, within our ordinary body and lives. And the third is about relating to the senses. So to start, let's consider a conversation between Pooh and Piglet. Piglet asks, "How do you spell love?" Pooh replies, "You don't spell it, you feel it." The discovery of footprints engenders a visceral feeling of hope and relief. And this is all me, to me. There's something innocent and uplifting here, discovering the footprints of the ox. Something is resonating, jumping in the heart that has little to do with the strategic thinking mind, and it's not born out of knowing, and an unexpected spaciousness arises. And I remembered a moment in my young life when I was walking in a large stand of trees behind our house. I came across an untouched by human eyes or feet, a pristine fairy ring, bright green moss and a ring of mushrooms around it. I could not believe my eyes. I'd never seen anything like it. I immediately felt this extraordinary presence. I was just lost in wonder, and my heart leapt with joy that this existed. So these prints are visible along the riverbank, under the trees, even under the fragrant grasses. And these are places that are conducive to calm and peace. The heart can relax and surrender here for a moment. It's less defended. I don't have to try to be anything other than myself. I'm in the presence of something bigger than my egoic self. I'm paying attention to a different voice. So hope in this picture is, for me, is a wake up to action, to do something, to get help, maybe some tips, a book, a class, counseling to help me with my physical, social, emotional, and spiritual pain. My body and my heart mind are pointing in the same direction. Jerry, you have the wrong picture you have picture one, in case anybody's confused by that. We're on picture two. He has picture one up on his screen. So
it has to be changed on the Zoom back end, so I can go ahead and do that after.
Oh, no, sweetheart. That's all right. I just wanted to make
sure. I noticed that too.
And I was like, am I talking about it? It took me for a little bit of a spin. So my first question is, what made them, the prints, and where do they lead? And what lies deep in the remote mountains where I see prints? Well, I said, my heart, because I'm disconnected from my heart, my body as a whole. It's buried underneath the rubble of fear, anger, jealousy, aversion, and craving. Like the ice, it's hard, but there's water inside, not easily accessible, yet right under my nose, so to speak. The picture has many sensory clues about pointing to how to relate to our experience in the moment. And so what is this sensory experience of seeing footprints along the riverbank, under the trees, even under the fragrant grasses and deep and remote mountains? The senses can be a sticky place. If I grasp and cling to the experience of pleasant, fragrant grasses, or resist and push away the undesirable thoughts, for instance, in remote mountains, I'm building up that solid egoic sense of self who stands outside the direct experience. So which prince do I follow? The one leading to reactivity or quieting? The one leading to resisting or accepting? The one leading to pushing or to patience? When the Buddha told Bahia about directly contacting the senses, Bahia awakened on the spot. Paraphrasing the Buddha's words, when in the seen will be only the seen, in the heard only the heard, in the sensed only the sensed, in the known or thought only the known thought, he went on, Bahia, there is no you in connection with that. When there is no you in connection with that, there is no you there. When there is no you there, you are neither here nor there, nor in, nor between. This is the end of suffering. And as a co-founder of AA, Bill W. noted, the process of enlightenment is usually slow, but in the end, our seeking always finds a finding, always brings a finding. These great mysteries are, after all, enshrined in complete simplicity. So, personal story footnotes. I made a bet with myself and I lost. I picked up the phone the next morning for help. The following day at work, I remember a physical feeling of lightness and spaciousness in my shoulders. A burden had been lifting from admitting I could no longer think my way out of this problem. There was a pause, a stillness, and in that space, I could see how hardwired I was to achieve and compete at the cost of relating as a human being to my coworkers. It was as if I had that pause and I'd come up from air. It was like ice melting. Ice and water, they're different. Ice is hard and cold. Water is flowing or hot and cold, but when ice melts, it becomes water. To me, this is where the path, the prints lead toward. Water is inside the ice all along. I have to be open to the intimacy of melting. I have to be in an environment conducive to melting. I felt I belonged somewhere where it was okay to be me. And in this spiritual tradition, I heard people share about this 17-inch drop from the head to the heart. But I followed other people's prints because I could not trust my own. I was starting to feel into and pay attention to a heart's voice, but what I really wanted was self-acceptance. I was always on the outside looking in, which is wanting to be rescued. And happiness was always somewhere outside myself, which is totally natural to look for things outside ourselves for happiness. But I wanted to look harder, so I quit my job. I studied acting at Freehold Theater on Capitol Hill, and I had an interesting experience once. I remember in a play where after weeks of rehearsal, the director, after a couple of weeks of him not saying anything, he suddenly said something to the effect of, "That's it. You found it." And what had happened was that I stopped trying to do something, to be something. I had dropped into the present moment and the experience opened up and there I was, authentic. I didn't make it happen. It just happened. So I see that as a glimpse of the footprint of letting go. It was, seeing the conceptual idea of what I was supposed to be doing versus actually trusting and living in the moment. And so I take a class from Rodney, a meditation class. A friend told me about it. And so I basically did it because they were doing it. I wanted what they had. They were much wiser than I. Then I came to realize I really didn't want to be that mindful. I kind of was attached to my wanting mind, that busy mind. I couldn't let go. I didn't want to be in the present moment, but I wasn't aware of my thinking. I live in thought. I could not observe it. And so it dragged me around like, you know, a dog with a chew toy. And because thoughts lead to actions, you know, I was having a, other people were pulled into this madhouse of my thinking. And nothing could fill up this empty place inside me, because really what I wanted was some kind of emotional balance. And something about Rodney and what he talks about is resonating. His kind and gentle pointing to I am not my thoughts, and that my heart has a deeper quality of stillness, and that I only need honesty and sincerity to move forward. But I still operate with one foot in the boat and one foot of surrendering out of the boat. I compartmentalize my meditation and it lives separately from my life. I didn't know it to be otherwise. So I show up on Mondays and I let go a little and get a little relief. And I start to feel less reactive. And there's a bigger footprint for me of self-acceptance. In the words of Wisdom Sutra Prajnaparamita, how amazing! All living beings have the Buddha nature of awakening and freedom, yet they do not realize this. Unknowingly, they wander on the ocean of suffering for lifetimes. It's time to realize your own Buddha nature. And the last line of the verse, the traces can no more be hidden than one's nose. So what's under my nose that I can't see? It's kind of a blind spot. Well, it's my ordinary life, my life, as boring or ordinary as I want it to be. It's right here, right now, this body, this life. As the Buddha told Devarohitasa, it is in this fathom-long body, endowed with perception and mind, that I make known the world, the origin of the world, the end of the world, and the way leading to the end of the world. And what could be more obvious than this moment, the felt sense of this experience right now? I'm rushing because I just have a few more minutes. And then more suddenly, I think this is kind of like a koan, what is hidden. The sense of self seems to be located up here in the head, but it's hiding in an illusion that it's actually there, that it's an illusion of a fixed entity I call I, me, mine. And then looking heavenward, referencing the mind, luminous, clear as the sky, holding all of our experience. Phenomena arising and passing away. Here's my favorite. Michelangelo reportedly told his admirers who said, you know, your work is great. He said, I haven't done anything. Jesus was hiding inside the marble block and I simply helped him to be released. Michelangelo reportedly said he cut away the non-essential. I've simply discovered him. I've not created him. His work was releasing what was hidden in the marble. And I build up the sense of self and feel the ice melting within as well. But a deeper intimacy with the world and people around me is being revealed. Two steps forward, one step back. I can always come back to the simplicity of Rodney's words, sincerity, interest, patience. The teachings are here, not out there. And I'm just willing to trust and learn. And my everyday life is enough. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I will close with David White from his essay, Still Possible. Yes, it's still possible not to hold so tightly to who you think is true, to what you think is true, to bend your head and assume humility beneath the eaves of a still spreading sky, to feel in the rain upon your upturned face how you have always been friends with the distant horizon, no matter how far or how faint its call. I feel that I have given you a lot to consider, plus you have your own wonderful insights from looking at the picture and reading the verse. So it is our time to, I hate to do this part, you know, offer you the chance to hop off the call if you can't stay. But what if you stay, you're going to be able to share your thoughts and thank you, everybody, for your kind attention. You will be able to share with a small group, four people, you know what your journey has been, your heart's longing. What was your heart telling you? Where did it lead you? And then how does this picture help you in your practice? And I'll put these prompts in the chat, and then we'll get it to you in the breakout rooms. But what is it that you connect with? What word, phrases? And just know, wherever you are, that's where you are. It's perfect. And the joy of sharing with others is that that's the practice. The Dhamma is there. Welcome back. Welcome back. Population occurring. All right. As I was kind of, I am really interested to know what you all think, because I've been doing this all by myself in my own little mind, not just my mind, but resources. But it's like I haven't talked to anybody about this. So I want to hear what's happening. How are you resonating with it all? Or what was shared in your group generally? You can raise a hand or just unmute. All right, Lillian and Nikhil.
Oh, yeah, so something that kind of came up to me with the picture was that the talking about the footsteps being under the tall grass, and the first picture, that was kind of where he had been searching through. And kind of also how it was talking about, you know, it was in this the language of like the remote mountains of being somewhere that he hadn't searched. And how it kind of felt like it was both at the same time, where it's almost a way of seeing what you've always been seeing in a way that you haven't been seeing it before. And that was kind of something that resonated with me.
Oh, lovely. Say that again. Something you've been seeing. Yeah, no, I get it. But no, don't say it again. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, kind of like seeing for the first time. I love how you express that. I was using the word heart, but you were using not necessarily related to a heart's release. From Brett, will you share your metaphrase? I think that was maybe Jerry can do that at the end. Okay.
Do what at the end?
I was asking Charlotte to share something that what happened right at the end of our small group, and I can't send a private message to Charlotte, so it went to everyone.
Oh, thank you, Brett.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we got cut off right before Charlotte. Charlotte was in the middle of a sentence when we got bumped out, and so I think both me and Brett are curious what she was saying, but so we're just sort of asking in front of everyone, which maybe we could be more respectful of Charlotte's wish to not share everyone, but that's what's happening with that message.
Ask to unmute. Something's occurring here. Can you unmute, please, Charlotte? There you go.
Oh, sure. I was just going to put it in the chat. It's just something that I added to my practice. It's maybe Morse. Inform my skitma. Boy, I'm sorry. Maybe Morris inform my skillful intentions and actions instead of looking at myself and with guilt, just to realize that I can do it better. I can do something skillfully. Maybe I should just write it out.
Would you please do that in the chat?
I'm having a hard time. speaking. Yeah. Lovely. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love that phrasing, though. Thank you.
And Judith had waved her hand earlier. Judith, do you still want to say something?
Oh, yeah, I could. Well, what struck me was how each one of us in the group was taken by a different part of the text. Right. For me, it was, I see his prints and can no longer be hidden. Both of those things, like something just coming into existence.
Can I ask you how, if that relates to your practice or in the beginning or now? If that's kind of a question I'm always interested in.
Well, I think in my practice, it's sort of a continuum that things are just coming, starting to be revealed. I mean, and after 30 some years, that's still the case. It's not like, oh yeah, that's it. Everything is clear now. Right. But it's like, well, it reminded me the phrase, I see his prints reminded me of the song Morning Has Broken, which I just heard yesterday. And particularly the line where his feet pass, like, okay, these traces. And it's a very hopeful feeling because sunrise for me is a very hopeful time. And I think that's kind of the essence of practice is like, oh yeah, okay. I see something. I see something I didn't see before.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A couple of brief shares. Oh, I feel so left out. I didn't get to go to any breakout rooms. Come on, guys.
We talked a lot about curiosity and openness and not sticking with what we thought we already knew and just really and trusting. A couple of us talked about, you know, that these Oxfordy pictures aren't easy and why are we doing it? Because we trust him and Tuari and other teachers who say, hey, it's a good idea. You know, so come in, you know, they've invited us in. And we trust them and we trust the Dharma and other teachers too. So that curiosity and trust both.
Trusting the unfolding, the unknown. Oh, Kathy and Cheryl.
Just quickly. Susan,
we're running slow. You know, it's almost the end here.
Okay, one more.
Just a curiosity thing. It's like the pictures. You know, why are we doing this? And the pictures are reminding me, why am I, in fact, you know, after speaking on Thursday night and being in the song on Thursday night, it's like I left the meeting saying, what is my practice? And why am I practicing? You know, I'm saying this and saying that, but what really is it? And so it's opening that up again, which is really cool.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for your practice. Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks everybody. Yeah, it's a real nice morning here. Appreciate the talk and the small group discussion. I want to start here with something in the chat. Just a reminder, yes, this is so much, you know, Sims and the teachers, you know, the Dharma is shared. Yeah, historically for 2,600 years. So just want to, again, invite people to be able to reciprocate or find a way that they can share from their own hearts and the recognition of the value of this these teachings. So I brought a donate button into the chat there. Glad you all are able to make it here. And good to see you. I appreciate sitting with you all. And how about if we end this morning by, you know, one more time coming to stillness and recognizing that we are a Sangha and our practice here has a ripple effect. There are so many things that are going on in this world right now could use a positive, uplifting ripple. So as we start our day, having an intention to bring the fruits of this practice outward to our family and friends, to share the kindness, the caring, the mindfulness with all we encounter, and may all beings live in peace.